Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we've been thinking together and meditating together and studying together in the Epistle of Hebrews. I want to emphasize again and again and again, my purpose in teaching you this book is not simply to inject my teachings, but it's to teach you what the Word of God has to say on every subject, about every subject, whether it's salvation itself, the need of man who is lost in sin for a Savior, or whether it has to do with the Christian life, or whether it has to do with eternity after we leave this earth and go to be with the Lord Jesus. So I've tried to teach you strictly from the Word of God, and I want to emphasize again and again and again. If you're in a church that is not teaching the Word of God, or it's distorting the Word of God in some way, it's taking the Word of God out of its proper context in the various passages that are used, then you need to find a church that is teaching and preaching the truth. And you need yourselves in your daily lives to study the Word of God, to study it very carefully, and to live your lives according to the Word of God. Your salvation itself, for many of you, unfortunately, is based upon tradition. It's not based upon the Word of God. It's based upon what men have thought through the ages, even going back to 100 AD, when the Word of God was completed. The book of Revelation was probably completed in about 95 or 100 AD by a very aged man named John the Apostle. And this book was completed, and it closes with a warning that we are to not add to or take away from God's Word. And if we add to or take away from it, we are accursed. So when people come to your door and they're offering you their books concerning dreams and revelations, which they are supposed to have had, or they're trying to offer to you their teachings, which are not found in the Word of God, you are to reject them. Do not allow them into your house. Do not listen to their teachings. Reject them, in other words, and close the door against them. Refuse to take their books at all. So, when we come to the Word of God, we're coming to the perfect Word of God itself. Now, I want to emphasize several things in this closing, of our studies. These are conclusions I want to draw. Contrary to the teaching of some, there is no contradiction between this epistle to the Hebrews with its strong and frequent warnings about the dangers one faces in hearing and considering the gospel. There's no contradiction between this book and some of the other epistles such as Romans, Ephesians, and others of the epistles of Paul. None of those epistles make salvation a light thing. In other words, just believe, just raise your hand, just come forward, and then everything is all right. None of these things make salvation a light thing. The salvation decision that you make is the most important decision of your entire life, and it's not a shallow thing. It's not simply a little thing that you do on the surface. It is a heart decision to truly confess your sins before God and then come to the one apart from all others. And let me emphasize that, apart from all others, come to the one who died on the cross for your sins. That is biblical salvation. Trust him as your Savior, confessing your sins to him, asking him to come into your heart and save you from your sin, and then claiming the promise of God concerning eternal life, where Jesus said in John 10:28, I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man take them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And so the Lord Jesus gives a promise there of eternal salvation if you have truly made a decision. So these epistles are written by different men. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians were written by Paul, and this book was written by Paul. Some were written by Peter, some by the Apostle John. They're written by different men. But the entire book of the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, is the Word of God. You can believe it, and there's no contradiction when God speaks. He does not contradict himself. The contradictions only come because we don't understand the teaching sometimes. So these books are teaching us from different standpoints the truth. In other words, they're emphasizing different areas of the truth. And so we need to take the entire Bible as the Word of God. And His Word, again, never contradicts itself. Now, as we also note in such epistles as James and 1 John, Hebrews is emphasizing not so much the means of salvation as it is emphasizing the proof of the presence of salvation in a person's life, and the danger that a person may think he is saved because he has heard the truth, has been tender toward it, has tasted some of the things that he wants from God, and yet he has never responded. He has heard the truth so much, and has demonstrated even a good spirit toward it, and towards those who are saved, and yet he has never personally trusted Christ. It may be true in that person's life that with all the hearing and tenderness towards the truth he has shown, he still has never really taken the step of actually trusting Christ as his Savior from sin. So, this book is not contradicting the epistles of Romans, the Gospel of John, the epistle of Ephesians, Colossians, and so forth. It's not contradicting any other book. It is simply emphasizing a different thing. So, first of all, there is the means of salvation. The means of salvation is through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And it's through a sincere approach to him and a heart trust in him as Savior. Faith, in other words, true faith in him. It's not a shallow thing. This is one reason why we have to be very careful with small children, that we do not lead them into a very shallow decision. For instance, a Sunday school teacher might have every one of her children raise her hand. How many of you want to love Jesus? And then she's convinced, well, everyone in my class got saved today. 14 of them, 16 of them, however many were in the class. Everyone in my class got saved today. No, probably not one of them got saved. Maybe they were too young to make this decision. I want to say this very carefully. Some of you may have trusted Christ truly when you were 4 years old. All right, praise the Lord for that. But did you understand what you were doing? Did you have doubts about this when you were in your teenage years, for instance, or in your adulthood? What did I understand? Did I ever truly trust him? So if you're not sure, you're not getting saved again, but just renew your faith in him. Just renew it. You're not getting saved. We don't get saved a second time. If you're already saved, you are saved. But just before God, just reaffirm, Lord, I do trust the Lord Jesus in my heart, and I believe I am saved, and I want to go on from here. I have not lived for you exactly as I should. I have not obeyed you like I should, but from now on, and this comes to the second part now, and that is from now on, I'm going to live for you with all my heart. I'm going to love the Lord Jesus. I'm going to honor him in my life, and I'm going to serve him until I die. Now, you may be an older person, and I say this very respectfully. I respect older people, but you may be an older person, and you feel you've wasted your life. No, it's not too late to get right with God. How wonderful it is that God is a forgiving God. You may have committed some sins against God, even moral sins against God. No, there is complete forgiveness when you truly repent and you get right with God. And so get right with God, whatever your need might be. If you've simply wasted your life, if you committed some terrible sins that you may feel take you outside the grace of God, no, nothing takes you outside the grace of God except the rejection of the Lord Jesus himself. That is what takes you outside the grace of God. And in the Christian life, you cannot lose your salvation, but you can lose all fellowship with him. You can lose the blessing and favor of God upon your lives. And so you need to get your lives right with him. So it is certain that Hebrews is not teaching a works-based salvation, as some would claim. In other words, it's faith plus works that is going to save us. No, there is no work of mine that will either add to or take away from my salvation. I am saved by the grace of God, apart from works. Remember that passage, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, we're saved entirely by the grace of God. There is no work of mine, I want to say again, I have ever done, am now doing, or ever will do, that will qualify me for salvation. So it's not grace plus works. It's grace alone, the unmerited favor of God that saves us from our sins. So this book is not teaching a works-based salvation, as some would claim. Rather, it's teaching an action-based salvation that requires a personal faith of the person who hears the gospel and wants to be saved from his sins. Without that action, the action of trusting the Lord Jesus and accepting the gift that's mentioned in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, accepting that gift, unless a person has made this faith part of his life, that person cannot be saved, no matter how much they have listened to the truth or what good works they might have done. And so this is in perfect agreement with John 3:16, John 3:36, John 14:6, Romans chapter 5, 1-11, Ephesians 2, 8-9, and countless other passages of Scripture dealing with salvation. In other words, there is action that is needed. God will not have faith for me. There are some who extremely teach, no, God does a faith for us. No, faith is my responsibility. The Holy Spirit will touch my heart. He will convict my heart. He will show me the truth. He will help my heart to be tender. But if I do not myself exercise faith, I am not saved. He will not do this for me, and I have to do this myself. Now, let me draw a couple of other conclusions. Like Romans chapter 6 to 8, Galatians chapters 5 and 6, Ephesians chapters 4 to 6, Colossians chapters 3 and 4, 1 John chapters 2 to 4, and countless other sections of Scripture. I've just mentioned a few of them only. But like these passages, it does not condone a person who professes heart faith but goes on living a life of sin. For such a life lacks any possible proof that there's ever been real heart faith in the Lord. I don't want you to doubt your salvation. You may have wasted your life, and yet you really believe in your heart you have had heart faith. So don't doubt your salvation. That's not my purpose in saying this. But I want to say that in your life, God wants to see proof of your salvation. He wants to approve of you and to see proof of your salvation. And if this proof is not there, you need to get your life right with God. And so these books are teaching this very, very clearly. Let me go back to Romans chapter 6 again. There had been a major misunderstanding among Christians. In chapters 3:19, chapter 5, verse 21, he deals with the subject, how is lost man to be saved? 1:18 to chapter 3:18 had talked about why is man lost? Why is every person in the world lost in sin? Not only the very, very bad person, we use this word bad, not only the very bad person who has committed some terrible crimes and all, but also the self-righteous man of chapter 2, verses 1 to 16, and then also the Jewish person who has strictly kept the law. He may be a person who is in his heart, like the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. He says, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. I had never violated any of these things as far as I know. And yet, in the eyes of God, he was still a hopeless lost sinner, because no one is without sin in this world, no matter how perfect they might think they are. And so, there had been a major misunderstanding. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 had said, as sin did abound or increase, so did grace also abound or increase. And people have misunderstood it. It's all right then for me to go ahead and sin. This is not teaching that at all. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 very clearly says, shall we continue in sin that grace may increase? God forbid. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? In other words, this is a false assumption. We're not given liberty to sin. Then you see this again in the chapter 5 of the book of Galatians. Now he is very clearly taught in the first four chapters that they are not under the law of Moses, not at all under the law of Moses. And so now they are in the freedom in Christ, in grace, in other words. They've been saved from their sins. And they belong to the group of Sarah, not to the group of Hagar. A group of Hagar, he titles those who are still living under the law. The group of Hagar, but we're not under that group anymore. Now we're under Sarah. Now let me continue. So in chapter 5, verse 1, they are to stand fast in the freedom with which Christ has made us free. Some people will simply mark that verse, claim that verse, and go on living their lives as they please. I'm free in Christ, don't bother me. No, God does bother us, because this is a misunderstanding. In verse 13, he says, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. That's what they were doing. They were taking that verse, verse 1 of chapter 5. They were saying, I'm free. Now don't talk to me anymore. The Gentiles often said this in the church. And they would be criticized by the Jews for this, in fact. They often said, you know, I can do as I please. I'm saved and don't bother me, you Jewish people who are very strict. And then in verse 16 of chapter 5, he says, and he's talking about overcoming the flesh now, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, my time is almost gone. I just have a couple of minutes left, and I want to conclude this. But I want to say, we do have a means of getting victory in the Christian life. In Romans chapter 7, the man was trying to live his life by his own efforts. And he is teaching very clearly in Romans chapter 7, this man is failing in every way. Here's what he wants to do, he doesn't do. What he doesn't want to do, that's what he does, even though he's trying and trying and trying to live the Christian life. But in Romans 8, it's by the Spirit that we have victory over sin. And the Lord Jesus himself will teach this in John 14-16. But Romans 8 is emphasizing this wonderful truth. And of course, again, in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, or walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So whether it's in salvation or whether it's in the Christian life, Hebrews is emphasizing that, first of all, there will be some proof of salvation in the Christian life if you are truly saved and you need to make that true decision. But he's also teaching that in the Christian life itself, if you truly are saved, you need to live by the Spirit. You need to walk by the Spirit. You need to have victory in the Holy Spirit. So I would urge you, as we've come to the end of this study of the book of Hebrews, I would urge you, first of all, if you're not sure of your salvation, bow your hearts today before God and simply say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not sure, but if I have never done this before, if I am a member of your family, then I am saved. But if I have never truly done this before, now I bow my heart before you, and I trust the Lord Jesus in my heart. Please, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me from my sins. And then stand on the promise of God, where Jesus said, John 10:28, I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man take them out of my hand. So you don't need to do this again and again. If you are sure of your salvation, then go on to the Christian life and get your life right with God, if it's not right with God. If you are right with God, then continue, according to 1 Peter 3, verse 8, continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. May the Lord help you, each one. May you go on and study and study and study and meditate in the Word of God. And may the Lord help you to both understand it and to live by it in salvation and in the Christian life. And may you be happy in following the will of God. Not regretting, but happy in following the will of God for your life. May the Lord bless you, each one.